Welcome to Two Very Nice Ladies, Faking It Insecurity. Our non-faker for this episode is Rachel Britton. Welcome to Two Very Nice Ladies, Rachel.
Thank you both.
Oh, so lovely to have you. It's lovely to have another lady.
Two Very Nice Ladies. We've had Kate, but other than that, you are the first lady.
Oh, I like that. Liking that girl.
I'm probably one of the funniest people that we've had on so far.
What can I say? I'm very witty. And it just comes naturally to me.
A witty lady. What is your origin story?
So basically, I've always been employed and always in the corporate world. And it's always been an ambition of mine to become self-employed. And then I decided, I'm going to bite the bullet and go for it. And it just so happens to be a week before lockdown. So I did for about a week whether to go ahead and go self-employed, basically, whether it was the right thing to do. And then I've just gone for it. And now I'm self-employed. I'm currently rebranding as a business consultant because I specialise in compliance, GDPR, and research.
So for the internet that don't know, Rachel and I actually went to school together. So we met when we were tiny, tiny wee.
We met when we were 11.
Back in Bristol.
And our questionable taste in clothing and hair.
Yes, there are many stories.
So
Rachel, who would play you in the movie adaptation version of your origin story?
I would say this only because people have said that we look similar. That's the only reason. Is Judy Greer. Now, if you don't know who Judy Greer is, she's been in quite a few films. I can't actually think of any right now. But she's quite quirky. Oh God, here we go. She would be the perfect person, and she's got the comedy aspect as well.
Yeah, you do look like her.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah,
she would be the best person, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, no, I could see that.
Oh. Okay.
Did you Google it as well, Gemma?
I did Google it.
Oh. I can absolutely see it. I don't think we've ever done ourselves.
Have we not?
No.
So
who would play you guys then?
I don't know.
I've gone before, so I'll just go out there and say it because it's on record already. Helena Bonham Carter would play me, a little bit creepy. And the reason that pops into my mind is some guy wandered up to me in a bar one day and went, "Oh my God, you look like that creepy woman."
Is that a compliment?
Definitely not a compliment.
You don't look like her. So that's bullshit.
No, you don't, actually. You look nothing like her.
It's the crazy hair and the sunken face. Who knows?
Any little wally. I don't think so. I'd go more down the J-Lo route for you. I think.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends what time of year. Yeah, in winter, Helena Bonham Carter, in the summer, J-Lo, I'll take that.
Multifaceted.
I don't know, I think you have to be a boy. Let me do a bit of Googling. Which boys have short blonde hair? Let me have a quick look. Wait, do you want to look for Owen Wilson for someone?
Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
It's quite a good one, he's quite funny.
You can't beat Owen Wilson because we've already done Owen Wilson.
Which boy could I be then?
The only person I can think with blonde short hair is Jude Law.
Yeah, he's got blonde short hair.
But he's older, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I always think...
I don't know.
If anyone... Who was the guy in Ram Kingsman?
The lead. Oh, my God, I love him. Taron
Egerton. Yes, he is amazing. So, yes, he would play you.
So yeah, when I'm describe...
I just need to get some stupid shit glasses. Whenever
I describe you to anyone, Hayley, I always say she just looks exactly like Tinkerbell and is about the same size.
Are you another short ass?
A little midget.
So just before we sat down to have this chat, I was watching the news and track and trace app. I haven't paid much attention to the track and trace system. And I just thought, while it's fresh in my brain and I don't know anything about it, let's have a bit of a chat. Now, as I said, I haven't paid that much attention to what the track and trace app is because I can see it being used for evil. Now, I don't know what you guys think about it, but I have visions of, I mean, it's very rare that I get on a bus, but imagine going to work on a bus in the morning and you've got your track and trace app and it goes off. And there are some Karens out there that are complete assholes. Bloody Karens. Now, I've seen some videos recently of these Karens screaming at nurses in shops for wearing their uniforms in shops because they're spreading germs and I'm going to call your manager and all that sort of stuff. Now, imagine you're going to work on the bus and the app goes off and says someone in your vicinity is possibly infected with coronavirus. The mob mentality of Karens, I can't see that ending well. Now, I don't know if that's how the app works, but I'm pretty sure from what I've heard that's what goes on. What's your take on it?
Well, I personally would be rather concerned if there was somebody, like you said, in my vicinity. I would not be a part of the mob mentality, though. I would try and get off the bus as soon as I bloody could, to be fair. That's what I would do. I wouldn't announce it to the world. I would just get off the bus, basically. But yeah, you have got other people that are not like that, and they would probably might even become physical with that person. I mean, it doesn't identify who it is, though, does it? It just identifies somebody where you know, in the bus that you're sat on, is on the bus, basically.
Well, I mean,
so it could be any one of them.
Let's be honest, no one's pointing out terrorists saying that MI5 are investigating people, but that doesn't stop people for picking out people who they are stereotyping as terrorists. So how is this going to be any different?
Well, I can see this going a different way. So say that it announces on the app, yes, you've got someone in the vicinity. If somebody just randomly coughs, you're going to instantly think, that one's got coronavirus. You are, because I've been out in the shops and there's people that's been coughing, and now I'm just like, oh, I don't want to be near that person that's coughing. And it could generally just be a tickle in their throat, but I think it's been drummed into us so much recently of all these worries that we have. I think, yeah, it's going to implode, I think. Especially now they're going to be relaxing some of the rules on the 15th, so that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the queue to go to my local co-op, and it's just a little corner shop the other day, and I sneezed in the queue, and you should have seen everyone shit themselves.
Oh my God, I was in a meeting today, and I coughed on the phone, and I went like that, and someone went, don't cough, don't you fucking cough like that, and I...
it's like being on The Voice, isn't it?
I am just a little bit hungover, and I did a cough.
I'm scared shitless of coughing. I've been out probably last week and I had a tickle in my throat and I was trying not to cough, but I was coughing even more because I was trying not to, and the looks I was getting from people was awful. It was like I'd murdered somebody. It is a bit ridiculous, to be fair.
It's a bit massively over the top, I think.
Yes, definitely.
So I don't very often leave the house anyway, but I have real mixed feelings about using any kind of tracing app that's going to share this information. I also don't have a huge amount of trust in my the security of it, and I think there's a lot of people out there that are concerned. And I forget which country it was, but when they released their app, I think somebody was pushing porn to through push notifications and stuff through it. Now, I could be making that up. That could be Twitter or Facebook true. But I heard some rumours anyway. And I just, whilst I know technically it's the right thing to do. I would rather just wait for all this to die down before I go roaming about the street hoping that there's not going to be the mob mentality or some Karen's going to be screaming at me for sneezing in the come-up queue.
Poor people called Karen. There are other names available.
It is just Karen at the moment, though, isn't it? You've got hashtag Karen trending on Twitter as of yesterday. So, yeah.
Silly old Karen.
But I agree with what you're saying in regards to, like, I'm staying in, I'm treating now as what I would during the coronavirus when it first hit, because I feel there'll be a second wave of it. I mean, it might not be, but I mean, with the Spanish flu, that's what happened. They let everyone out and then, you know, the second wave hit and then even more people died. I just think people should just be a bit more wary of what they're doing. And I'm, yeah, it's fair enough to go out and about, but just respect people's space and people's privacy. And not be a dick, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Don't be a dick.
I think that's a lesson for us all. Just don't be a dick.
They let everybody out, and then they had a massive second wave. And I don't know if I don't know if it peaked and then it went back down again. I haven't really been keeping up with it. But
no, I mean, it's been so much that's been going on in the news at the moment. I'm finding it hard to keep up. And every single day, or even throughout the day, there's conflicting news stories. So I never know, as with anything, what is legitimately true and what isn't.
Yeah.
Well, if you missed the news today. Breaking news, this went on a couple of hours ago. Rishi Sunak, excellent news, Nando's are open.
I mean, out of the grand scheme of things, I'm quite happy that that's opening, but I don't think that is going to solve much, is it, having Nando's open? Maybe my fast food craving, but that's about it.
Read the fucking room, Rishi. What are you doing?
Was that all he said? Nando's is opening? Or was there more behind it?
There's probably a little bit more to it, but I think everyone focused on the Nando's.
Well, I mean, I did read the tweet. The tweet is, good news, Nando's are about to open like 30 branches or something. Let me just find the actual tweet, because I did tweet about this earlier. It was just like, what are you doing, man? What is wrong with you? Yeah, chat amongst yourselves while I find this. Here it is. 6 hours ago, Rishi Sunak tweeted, the good news we've all been waiting for. And then the link is Nando's to reopen further 54 restaurants for delivery and collection.
I don't think that is the news we've all been waiting for. I think I can speak for the vast majority of people.
I mean, Twitter did speak for itself with 10,600 people saying, read the fucking room, man. What is wrong with you?
Double check his job title one little second.
Yeah.
Chancellor of the Exchequer. And he is announcing that the news that everyone has been waiting for is that Nando's is reopening.
I think what he's trying to do is appeal to the younger audience. You know, trying to be down with the kids.
I think that'll be the last time
you talk. A bit of a backlash from that now, I think.
Yeah. All he's got to do is just say "in it" on the end of things that he says. I don't think that's the thing that
we tell outlets can open on the 15th of June, in it. Big shout out to the Massive. That would work.
I think he just needs to do a bit of brap on the end of his things as well. Okay. He's got plenty of things he could be doing. But I don't think tweeting, I'm such an old lady.
I said twittering.
Twittering. Nando's is going to be open is the way you get the vote.
But then I'm thinking, with all of this and with his tweet, I think they are still pushing for herd immunity. So yeah. I feel tweets like this are going to get the masses out there because they are wanting the fast food, they are wanting McDonald's, they are wanting Nando's, they are wanting KFC. So by putting a tweet like that, yes, it might rile some people, but it will get a lot of people, you know, going to these establishments. So in effect, herd immunity.
Imagine if everyone just went to H&M on the 15th and then went back to do. Best day ever.
Living my best life.
Twitter does annoy me a lot of the time, but there are some moments where you think, don't wind up Twitter. Twitter will take you down.
And I do rate him. I think he's, my own opinion, I think he's done a fantastic job. But there are instances like this where I think, a bit questionable now.
So, I mean, Twitter, I didn't read the 10,600 tweets that followed this, but Twitter were very quick to do some digging on Nando's and talk about whether they're paying their tax or not. And
See, it's probably opened up a massive can of worms there.
And the internet is not people you want to piss off by being excited about Nando's.
No. Absolutely panned, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, the general theme was 60,000 people have died and you're excited by Nando's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now you've said that, I've just followed Rishi, actually, on Twitter. See what he's got to say.
Because we're talking about him, that's probably what he wants, isn't it?
That's exactly what I want. So now, Rachel, you will know when McDonald's opens all their branches.
Exactly. So. That is all I care about at the moment. I don't care about when I can actually go and see my family or anything. I just care about when Nando's is reopening.
What is it?
You can come and you can get a Nando.
Oh, we can all go together. Have a socially distanced Nando together with some piri-piri sauce.
Technically, if you all ordered for collection at the same time, you could have a family outing to Nando's.
We can all eat Nando's in the street.
We could, yeah.
What a dream. I've just poured myself another wine. This is what I'm doing.
I've done the same, to be fair. I thought, why not? Makes sense, doesn't it? Is Wednesday.
Wine Wednesdays.
Wasted Wednesdays in my 20s.
Mine too. Wasted Wednesdays now. Would you rather freeze to death or burn to death?
Freeze to death. I would like to freeze to death.
Why?
Because the thought of my body being on fire and my skin melting, I would rather freeze. Yeah, definitely freeze.
Good answer. Gemma.
So I've put a lot of thought into it, but I also go freeze because I think when you get to a point of coldness, only your required organs function, the rest of you goes to sleep, and so you become unconscious much faster and wouldn't actually feel it. Whereas if you're on fire, it's gonna hurt like fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And who wants their skin to be melted? You know, I don't.
Yeah. You wouldn't pass out from
lobsters in the mind you, don't you slowly boil off?
Do you know what? It's quite cruel actually with lobsters because you literally put them into boiling hot pot of water, don't you? And you can hear them go,
That happens with mussels as well. You put them in and they go, and they literally, you can hear them screaming for their life.
It's horrible. It does taste bloody amazing.
I don't think they actually scream though, and I'm just going to call bullshit on it. So the screaming noise is the air being released from underneath their shells. So they're not actually screaming.
Wow, you've just ruined a childhood memory for me.
Boiling animals.
Because now I don't think that my lobster's going to scream whenever I should. Not that I get a fucking lobster. I don't eat a lobster. I can't afford a lobster. But if I
can
get one.
Exactly. You wouldn't feel too bad.
No. So you've actually helped me. You've helped my mental health with this, I think.
I'm trying to protect my own self from the trolls, really, because I don't want all the abuse saying, be ridiculous. But actually, I probably opened myself up with my useless fact of it's not actually them screaming. For someone to troll me and say, don't be ridiculous. They are. Think of the poor lobster.
Yes, they are.
I'm a vegetarian.
Right, I'm going to Google while we're here, whilst you talk about that too. Do lobsters scream when they die?
I'm a vegetarian, so I am not responsible for the screaming of any shellfish or any other animal. So please direct your trolling at Hayley and Rachel.
Scream. They don't have vocal cords. The usual explanation given for sounds making when make. Oh my god, what's wrong with me? Made when a lobster is boiled. is that it's steam escaping from the exoskeleton.
Because they don't have vocal cords, do they? That makes sense. Right.
Lobsters can't scream.
I have my entire life. And I'm making out that I have lobster on a regular occasion. I don't. I've probably had it twice in my whole life, but you know.
I bought one from Aldi once, but it was already dead. So I don't think that counts.
No, it doesn't.
It didn't scream.
But apparently they haven't got brains, so they don't feel pain.
Of course they've got brains.
No, they don't have brains.
Rachel.
That's the only way I can deal with this, Gemma. They don't have brains, okay?
They don't have brains, they don't have nerve endings, they don't die.
They have no feelings. Yeah, and it's fine.
They don't die, they live on us, in us, forever.
So for everyone listening, don't let Rachel be part of your quiz team.
You will lose quickly.
Lobsters don't have brains. You heard it here first. Oh dear.
How do we follow that?
So we're going to go to
the second would you rather.
Do you want to do another would you rather? Would you rather be a lobster with no brain or...
Okay, well played.
I was going to go serious, but
I feel like that might lower the tone
a little bit. Okay, would you rather have your body found in a pile of drugs or sex toys?
Sex toys. There was no hesitation there, I don't know why. But
oh my God.
Sex toys.
God, I said drugs.
I also went drugs, but didn't think it was a likely scenario because I don't do the drugs. But I feel like...
How do I get myself out of this one then?
Well, I feel there would be less explanation if it was drugs. They would be like, okay.
It sounds like surrounded by drugs, then people would get the wrong impression of me.
Think you're a sex pest instead.
Sex toys. But if I had loads of sex toys around me, they'd just think, oh, she's up for a laugh.
She's lonely.
And then she died.
She was having a lot of fun before she died.
Yes.
That's so funny. I think when they find a pile of drugs, they just go, oh, yeah, that's why she died.
Yeah,
as opposed to, oh, what she's doing before she died.
They'll be like, she must have been on a massive session with Pornhub or any other, you know, porn-related website.
I feel like I'm learning so much more about you.
It's actually a really good would you rather. I think I might use it. Yeah. I might use it with my mum. In a minute. Yeah. Hey mum, would you rather be found in a pile of drugs or sex toys if you had the option? Gun to head. Pick one.
Well, I'll tell you now, if you ask this on Tinder, people just don't know where to put themselves.
Well, that is a great way of... Well, not having any contact with men, I would say.
I'm not going to lie, not being on Tinder, I don't think this would be my go-to.
Talking about Tinder, because I'm back on it, I've got a love-hate relationship with it. I really hate when guys message me and say, what would you prefer, chocolate digestives or a Nice biscuit? And you're like, what are you talking about?
I mean, let's be honest, there's no comparison. But...
Like, why are you asking me this? Like, yeah, instant block.
So we have got a WhatsApp group called All the Single Ladies, and we spend quite a lot of time all day, every day, discussing this bullshit stuff. And so, you know, I mean... What the fuck is wrong with people? I think is actually the question that probably should be answered. People are weird now.
Indeed.
Like, lockdown has made people weird. I mean, I'm not on Tinder. I'm not on anything. But I couldn't be, because I want to fork myself in the eye every single time someone spoke to me. I just don't like people enough. I love you. I love you too. You're very funny.
Oh, thanks. Ever so.
Ever so. But I just don't think I could deal with...
Yeah. No, guys, I've just got to cut in here about the lobster brain scenario. So technically I'm right. Lobsters only have 100,000 neurons and no true centralized brain. Top tip for you, Anna.
Oh, Oh my god.
So maybe Rachel so can join a quiz team.
I can feel better about when I boil something.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be running out to get any lobster anytime soon, that's for sure.
I profusely apologise to you for making you look stupid, and now I feel quite stupid. And while we're on the subject of apologising, I'm going to apologise to Tinder because men are hideous in all the dating apps, not just Tinder. So let's just call out Bumble, Plenty of Fish, Hinge, all of them. They're all awful men. But on the subject of online dating and our group chat, so we spend a lot of, I feel like we're never ever going to get any matches and be dusty and on the shelf for the rest of our lives, the three of us now, but we spend a lot of time comparing people on Tinder or other dating apps and spotting catfishes. Now, I was talking to someone in the security community earlier today, Mario Platt, who's been on the show. And
I was going to say, call him out. We love Mario. Mario's an expert.
Yeah, so Mario was like, what the hell is catfishing? And so I was explaining the concept to him of the social engineering, vulnerable, single, lonely, shelf women and shelf men. And so we spend a lot of time talking about the catfishes and the fact that they're stuck in Nigeria and need money and please send help. Or what else is there? What have I had recently?
Simon, 43, no hair. Well, that's not catfish, that's just awful. that wasn't me. I didn't see that one. I feel like I need to be like, I'm Hayley. I'm not on any of the apps. I don't know. Simon, 43 with no hair was spectacular delight, I find.
But you do get a lot with catfishing. I mean, I've been catfished before, you know, where people are really deceptive, aren't they, and say they're a certain person, they live in a certain place. We discussed obviously yesterday with Gemma about GPS, where that guy said he was from Bristol and all his images were from America or Canada. So yeah, they basically lure you in with like a false sense of security, and people do develop feelings online for this person. And, you know, 9 times out of 10 when it's the catfishing, obviously, aspect, they're not the person who they say they are. So you have all these feelings, you end up telling them a load of personal information about yourself, which then, if this person is a criminal, would then be used against you because they've got the name of your cat, where you live, you know, it could even be personal information if you're helping them out financially because, I don't know, they've got to pay for a funeral. I mean, all this.
Some people get so excited that they end up. So, do you think it's gotten worse since lockdown, or do you think it was always that bad?
I think, in my opinion, I think there are more people on the apps than there were, but I don't think the social engineering attacks on these people is any worse than it always has been. I just think people are so starved of human connections at this point that they're probably more likely to fall for it.
Yeah, so it's the same, but more people just buy into it quicker than they would have done maybe beforehand.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. I would say before lockdown, I didn't really use social media as much as I do now. Obviously, I've got a business now, which is completely different, and I have to use it for, you know, get myself out there. But social media, the amount of people on there now is increased tenfold. So I think there's going to be more vulnerable people using it because that is their only outlet and their only social aspect at the moment. So they're probably clinging on to any bit of communication they can get, especially if they live on their own.
But I can't think that was much more dangerous thing to do than to be talking to someone you don't know and thinking that you're starting a relationship. They ask you if you live on your own, you say no, I've got a cat, that's it, like that's an innocent conversation. Then you might add them as a friend on Facebook, you've got a picture of your car, you've got geotagged photos on your social media accounts, you can like WhatsApp.
I've had this conversation, and I won't name names and like call people out, but somebody very recently took a video of literally the front of somebody's house and put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to assume that probably didn't only put it on Facebook. They could have put it absolutely anywhere. Mm. And the person that lived in this house probably wouldn't have necessarily wanted to be seen.
Yeah.
And now, that person's house, probably the door number, and it isn't that difficult to work out where people live, especially if you live where we live. It's very, very easy to, it is very easy to work out the area and all of these tiny little things that you think are very unimportant. And these were, like, so there are lots of people, like, I don't know, taking a snapshot outside of their house, putting on the internet, all of a sudden,
I know,
the world knows where you live. It isn't that hard to find it out. I think people have forgotten.
I've got somebody who I'm friends with. I'm just going to say that. That's all I'm going to say. But basically, they had a car stolen a good few months ago, a top of the range car. And anyway, cut long story short, they are still posting on Instagram, Facebook, pictures of their new cars outside their Airbnb property. Which isn't that difficult to find. And I'm thinking, you're just opening yourself up again to be targeted by these criminals, because the criminals know what cars they need and where to look for them, because all they need to do is scour the internet and it's there.
Yeah.
They've even got the registration plates on there. You know, they haven't, you know, normally, it's for instance, with me, I put something on about V-Day, which was outside the front of my house, but I basically wiped out my number of my house on there so that people couldn't see it could be any house. But as soon as you put your number on there and you say you're in, because I obviously live in Gloucestershire, as soon as you put anything like that, people can find it straight away. It's not hard. You've got, you know, Google Maps. You can actually see the house in front of you now because of the street view option. Mm. So it's not hard to get all this information and know what you've got in, you know, on your property.
It's also bonkers. I remember Jem went on Facebook maybe a month ago now and basically just, like, literally pleaded with people to stop filling in these stupid survey things where people are literally giving the world their information.
Yeah.
It's just that people didn't used to do this. And I do think it's desperation for some kind of contact or likes. I don't know.
I think a lot of it, though, is when you're using a platform like Facebook, you trust it in a sense. I know they've had privacy scandals, etc., blah, 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 but there's billions of people that use this platform. So when you've got an app registered against this platform, you do just give your information.
Well, you just assume that it's not going to be used for bad, but the problem is...
Exactly. Mm. You don't know. You just don't know.
And Jenny's like, so she's really switched on. So she said this really good stuff and people are saying, definitely, I'll definitely do that. But you know that most people that saw it wouldn't.
People don't. And it's not even, if you just think about the everyday stuff that people are posting and stuff, as security people, we're horrified. And we're like, oh my God, why are people doing this? But if you think about the hidden data that is there as well, like the GPS metadata, that's like the location is captured in your metadata of your photos. So it exists there. And if you're using Facebook and you've got location services enabled, it is telling everyone where you're posting from as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other day, like, my house is really hard to find. And so somebody needed to find my house and I shared my location for like an hour with them so that they could find my house. Yeah, to be able to share my location with someone so that they could find my address to deliver some stuff to me. I had to enable local location services on WhatsApp. And WhatsApp was like, to be able to do this, you need to have it as on always, locations sharing always, not just while I'm using not the app, not just when, you know, like when it asks me, it has to be always on. Now, I just had a delivery of stuff. I'm very excited. I want to play with my delivery. At what point do I remember I need to turn that off so I'm not broadcasting my location to weird people that I've met online that I have no connection with at all that are possibly trying to scam me, steal my car, etc. And so
I completely agree.
There's the basic stuff, but then there's the other things that we could all do and just go through our app settings and make sure location's turned off and things like that.
I've done that as a rule. So basically with all of my apps now, I've changed it on Facebook in particular, where my data's only shared my location basically when I'm using the app. But even still, while you're using the app, you're still opening yourself up for, you know, for certain information to be shared.
I think that's a grey area as well, because, if you look at iPhones, and I don't know about, like, Android or other devices, but if you look at iPhones, when I'm using the app, does that mean when I'm physically browsing Facebook, or does that mean when Facebook is open in the background because I haven't closed it, I've just gone off
of it? So basically what I found is that when say you're using an app that is integrating with Facebook, so you're not on Facebook at all, but you're on, I don't know, you could be on anything, like a gardening, whatever app, the information is being tracked still. And there's a setting on Facebook, which I came across the other day, which you can actually cancel out the tracking information sharing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are using these apps thinking, you know, it's complete. I don't know how safe it is or whatever. I can't really give a comment on that. But your information, whatever you're searching, is being tracked. And I think that's very obvious when you see targeted ads on Facebook. I've had it several times where I've been talking about a sprinkler for my hose, my garden hose. And now I'm getting relentless adverts about sprinklers.
I know, it's so creepy.
They do communicate with each other even when you're not using it. You have to physically go into the settings on Facebook and change it so that tracking is off.
Yeah, so that's tricky if you work in marketing, because you can't actually advertise on Facebook if you've got all of that turned off. And that's that is a tactic that I used to use all the time when I was in marketing. So I get the whole process. And what freaks me out, and even though I understand the Facebook process and advertising process, and I understand security to a point, I'm a massive faker, but I get it somewhat. What amazes me is the other day I saw a dress on an advert. I'd been like looking for a dress, saw a dress that I was like, oh, I really like that. And I went to show it to my daughter, but I couldn't find the ad. So I closed down Facebook and I said, oh, if only that website would show me that ad again on Facebook. And I opened Facebook and it was there.
Lo and behold, right? Yeah.
So I find it really, really hard to believe that this is not listening to me. And it, like, there's been stories about it.
But it's the same as Alexa.
Yeah.
How many households have got Alexa in their home?
Yeah.
Alexa listens to you all the time.
Yeah, and you can get...
Even when it's on, it's still listening to you. Google have even said that.
Yeah, you can go into the Alexa app and get the recordings, and so you know what it said. And people have been really freaked out about what
Alexa has recorded. It's scary. It's like having Big Brother in your house. You're inviting Big Brother into your house, basically.
Yeah.
Hasn't Alexa been used in like murder trials and stuff like that to like as a witness? Like, I'm pretty certain.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I'm pretty certain at some point Alexa, it was definitely in the news at some point that the Alexa recordings have been used in a murder investigation as a material witness.
Well,
because
I'll definitely look into that.
Stop listening. And I mean, I know people that, you know, can hack Alexa, and they use Alexa to do stupid things. We work in security. We work with absolute fucking crazy assholes. You've got, and they are nuts. All of them are nuts. They're not all nuts. This probably needs to be cut out. I love them all dearly. However, they do know how to do things.
Yeah, I agree.
If they know how to do things, people who aren't working for these people know how to do these things.
I would much rather have our contacts on our side than against me. So I love you all.
You are completely right, though, Hayley. I've just had a quick look about Alexa and solving crimes, and there are numerous articles where Alexa has been used in murder cases, which is shocking.
Yeah, but I mean, how much
information are they storing? It must be a lot of information if it's going to be used in a murder. This one, for example, is a double murder case.
Yeah. So it's been used as a material witness, and all of a sudden now, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't want to go around doing a murder, and I don't want to have to check if there's an Alexa in a house before I go and do a murder. But nobody flipping knows about this stuff. I don't have an Alexa. It's the one thing I don't have, but actually I do quite want one, so this is changing my mind.
Oh, and I wanted to apologise as well, because I said Alexa was by Google, and I know the trolls will hunt me down because it's Amazon.
Google has
I do apologise. I'm sorry for that mistake.
As
you were.
They're all like Elon Musk anyway, I'm sure.
Making friends with the big boys, Hayley. I was bought an Alexa by an ex, and Alexa does not live in my house anymore, thankfully, because she is a nagging bitch, and she interrupts when you're talking and tells you about the football scores that you don't want to know about. She is the worst thing that ever came through my front door, and that includes my ex-husband.
I don't follow
was the
sports,
worst thing
so
that
I'd
came
be
through my front
quite
door.
Happy if she told me the scores, but if it was something to do with, I don't know, the results of, I can't even think. I want to say X Factor, but that sounds so bloody cringe. But
I love X Factor, you're fine.
Okay. Well, if it's something like that, then yeah, I'd be devastated.
I
remember as well, like going off tangent. a few years ago. I don't know if any of you watched How I Met Your Mother. I've been watching this, like, watching the whole thing for years, for absolute years. And then I was around a friend's house, not going to say who, but I was quite annoyed. Alexa revealed the ending of How I Met Your Mother, and I'd literally had the last episode to watch, and this ruined it for me. And I think I watched it for 6 or 7 years, and that was the most devo I've been for a long time, not going to lie.
So shit. Other people's Alexas may be more useful than mine was, but everything I asked Alexa, she said, "I'm sorry, I don't know that one." So never gave me the answer. What is the weather like? Can you order me something? Just absolutely horse shit useless. Until you didn't want to talk to Alexa and you're on a video conference and she starts talking to you about NFL. And you can't get the bitch to shut up.
Oh, no, really?
She was terrible. I remember having a conversation with Gemma, and all of a sudden in the background, Alexa would go, "Gemma, ah, bah, 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 bah." And Gemma would be like, "I just would not shut up."
I would literally be screaming at her, "Alexa, shut the fuck up."
I feel like she was programmed to be a twat.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she was bought by a twat, so maybe he did buy the twat version just to wind me up, but... there we are. The human population are just, they just want to be helpful. We're like drummed into us for our entire life that we should be polite and like we should help people and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So people ask you innocent questions, you innocently respond. And so I'm going to go back to like the whole catfishing thing, because while I've been thinking more, because it's been more prevalent to me, because I'm a sad, lonely old spinster and I am on these apps, it's really easy. And I know not to do this stuff. But, I mean, I was talking to someone and they were like, "Oh, where do you live?" And I was like, "Oh, it's near Tesco." And they were like, "Oh, cool. Is that by the vets?" And I was like, yeah. And then they know where I live. What is wrong with me? And I know that.
It's so easily done, though. Yeah. And you do it. Yeah. I think especially now I'm finding that I'm trying to help whoever I can as much as I can, even if it's just like with the virtual assistant world, I'm helping them with GDPR. Like they'll say, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do invoicing on behalf of a client. Do I need to be AML registered? Blah, 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 blah." And it's literally, I'm just trying to help people out because they just don't know this information. And I find as well that the information is quite complex and it's not really in layman terms for the normal people. You know what I'm saying? Like the normal, I can't really edit this bit out because I'm waffling.
No, I think you're valid in what you're saying, and that's I think like for those that don't know, Rachel and I are collaborating on a bunch of content because actually like she really gets the compliance and is weirdly excited about it, and I just confuses me.
I love all the intricacy of it, and I like finding out things. So research, I said before, is one of my specialist subjects, because like I said to Gemma the other day that a couple of my friends have used my services, unpaid, like not paid or anything. So basically they've spoken to guys online and they've said, "Right, I'm not sure if they're being genuine, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Right, give me this, and this, or this and this even." And I'm like, "Yeah, I found them. Oh, they're married." Yeah. That was one of them. "Oh, that's not his name." So yeah, I do enjoy the research aspect. And then especially with compliance, I mean, it's such a vast array of different legislation and rules and regulations that you need to abide by. But yeah, I do enjoy it. Gemma is like literally in snoozeville, but I'm like, yeah, I've just put it my way. I love it.
See, I care about phishing and all the, you know, the sexy security stuff, not so much the GRC side. But actually, I think like my was one woman mission, which is to educate everyone and make it simple for everybody. Like, to collaborate with you on a compliance side, I think we're like covering all angles, and nobody really gets the compliance stuff. I mean, there's businesses who don't get the compliance stuff, and if we can just digest a bunch of information into a way that people can understand it, then
definitely agree with that. I think with compliance, it is so complex, and it is very complicated to digest the information. So what I'm thinking of obviously doing with yourself is actually putting things out into the public domain, which is like bite-sized and easy to read and easy to understand. Because as soon as you do that, then you take away a massive chunk of all the complexities with it.
I think the people that you're going to probably help are the SME type businesses, like the small to medium enterprises that like really don't have the money to put behind buying a fuckload of policies off of the internet. It's people that are going to literally have to write their own policies, and they're going to have to educate people themselves. They can't, they're not going to be able to buy a whacking great, I don't know, I can't name anything, but they can't buy anything in to make it better. And so the stuff that you're going to do, I think if you can get it out to the right people, will really help. Like the people that actually need it the most right now, because actually these guys, these people that you're potentially going to help, literally haven't got a Scooby-Doo about how someone's going to get in that door or get around that corner to get you and take all of your money and break in. And I don't know, like these people don't know stuff.
But it is surprising the amount of people businesses I have spoken to in regards to their due diligence. So, you know, where is the source of the wealth coming from? So I've got experience in the forestry industry, IT and financial services.
Mm.
Now, the amount of people, financial services, I would say, are pretty on it. They're pretty shit hot with this anyway. They are robust. Mm. But I would say, like, the forestry industry is one of the last things that has been actually looked over by HMRC and with compliance, because, you know, with woodlands, etc., for example, you could have a woodland that's been in your family for generations.
Yeah.
How do you prove that you own that bit of land?
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult because they didn't have land registry back, you know, in, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And then you've also got the complexity of nine times out of 10, which I found, is that land isn't registered with the land registry.
Mm.
So and you've got no definitive coordinates of where your land lies. And it's so difficult to, it's very complex. But you need to have different legislation in place. Like your due diligence, your basic due diligence is obviously your ID, your address. I would say your 3 months bank statement, so you can actually look through. You've got anti-money laundering that comes into effect as well. So it's a massive thing. But I think for the SME, it can be quite mind-blowing because they don't really know what they're meant to be doing, what they're meant to be looking for. I've been doing is basically putting it into like a bite-sized piece of information of you need to do X, Y, and Z. If you've done that, you've covered yourself, you've got that implemented, it's on the system, and you won't get any comeback from an audit. So I think it's basically about educating people on what's expected of you.
Yeah.
But they're quite often priced out of the market as well from those bigger boys than consultancies. And
oh, definitely. And yeah, I agree with that. It is expensive.
Yeah.
So expensive, especially if you're, you know, when all this, I mean, this is, it's growing legs, isn't it, basically? There's so much red tape all the time to try and protect everyone in regards to, you know, terrorist activities, etc. You know, Panama's been in the paper countless times, and it's just to be wary of what to look for. I mean, I use things like Experian or Equifax. You can have a look at the business, you have a look on Companies House, obviously that's public information, and you can build a picture of this person and their company. So, you know, even going on a Google search, you can go through and actually find key information about people. Google yourself, I would say. I've Googled myself, and it's surprising what information is out there in the public domain already, and it is quite scary.
Well, I mean, if you really wanted to, you can actually get somebody's phone number and address. You just have to pay a minimal amount of money.
You do, yeah. It's literally pittance, and you can literally have their email address, that, you know, their actual address, if they're trading from their home address. You know, it's very easy to get all this information and build a picture of somebody.
Yeah.
And this information then is sold on the dark web. So it's easy. It is easy. And you need to have all of these things into place. You know, I would say the main issue people have is trying to find the source of wealth. Because, you know, if especially if they're from abroad as well, you know, how do you determine that the money they're investing, say in forestry, is from legitimate means?
I do find it interesting, and I think part of the problem with It's a blessing and a curse, really. When GDPR came into force, I think it gave gave like security teams the mandate to get a lot of shit done very quickly. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, you've got GDPR fatigue now, because
It only did until people started shitting their pants about it towards the end. So that they brought it in and everyone was like, oh yeah, this is going to happen. We'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And then about like a month before the fines started happening, everyone shat themselves.
But the thing is as well, though, when GDPR came into effect, it wasn't so as of this date, you need to be compliant, otherwise you're going to get a hefty fine. It was as long as you showed a willingness to abide by GDPR and you were putting steps into place, you know, you wouldn't get fined. But it's people that have continued to put like blinkers over their eyes and carry on thinking, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to get checked on this, blah, blah, blah. They're the ones that have come proper and they're the ones that got fined.
Yeah. What is your favourite airport and why?
I don't like airports at all. I hate flying, but I fly because I want to see the world. I would say, actually, I've got two.
Go on,
am I allowed two?
Yeah,
I love Gatwick because it's so simplistic. Busy as hell, but it's just straightforward. It's so straightforward. Yeah. And that's all I've got to say about that. I haven't really much more to say. Bristol Airport. The reason I love it so much is my hometown, but it's just easy. You just go to the desk. Yeah, there's no qualms or anything. Go to the duty free. It's pretty shitload of perfume on yourself. Might buy a couple of drinks in the bar. You're on the plane. You're at your destination. You know, what's there not to love?
I think you've done a good job, actually. We've had some really bizarre...
I absolutely hate Gatwick.
Oh,
okay. Well, I don't know why.
I'm pretty sure I lived in Gatwick for a year. It was just awful.
Remember seeing you. You flew a lot. Like, was it a couple of years ago? Years ago? She was going all the time. It's like, where the fuck is she off to now?
I'm in Portugal.
I've just gone to Tesco and back. Oh, I've run up the stairs.
So every time
Morocco or whatever.
Every time I went to Gatwick, and I did keep flying from Gatwick, they have, like in the gates, in the departure lounge, they kept doing the Gatwick survey with me. And so a little old lady would come over and say, hey, have you got time to do a survey? And I would say, it's fine. Like, I can do it, but I did do it last week. And they'd be like, ha ha ha, you're so funny. No, I did it last week with the last little old lady that asked me. And I was doing the Gatwick, so I just fucked all of their statistics with my, did you find the gate okay? Yes, because I was here last week. So all of their stats for that year just went to shit because it was just me answering the question.
Well,
you're an absolute rebel.
We're loving you, right?
I've not had that luxury.
Taking down Gatwick.
I went to Tenerife about 3 years ago. since then, I've been there. I went to Wales. Oh, leaning back on Tinder ever since lightning. So I was talking to this guy, and he was like, oh, where would you like to go in the world? And I was on about Borneo because I love bloody orangutans.
We don't need boys to do that right now.
We'll just do it.
We need to go because that's on my bucket list. It's like number one on my bucket list.
So we definitely should have a two very nice ladies plus Rachel in Borneo, and we'll do.
Oh my god!
We'll do a recording.
Yes.
We'll do a live.
One of the guys through my networking group, he does bespoke holidays basically, and obviously that he's on his arse at the moment with stuff, but planning for next year, he sent me this itinerary. I'm not joking, ladies, it is amazing, and I will send it to you. You need to get flights, obviously, to get your own flights, but the itinerary, I was just like, 2 weeks of sheer bliss of seeing how the locals live, going and doing husbandry. It's literally, husbandry is where you look after the orangutans. So they're rescue orangutans,
if
and you feed them
monkey,
and look after them.
Happy.
You care for them, basically. And that is what I've been wanting to do for so long, and so I'm doing it.
Me too. I also want to do this in Sri Lanka with the elephants.
Oh.
So can we do that after?
I need to throw another one in. This is fucking weird, actually. So, in Hawaii, you can swim with pigs. And there's these little piglets. They look so cute. You can actually swim in the sea. So, I heard a story about how it got abandoned, like a ship. There was like a shipwreck or something along those lines. I'm a bit blasé with it. You'll probably tell me completely opposite. But you can swim with these little piglets. They're thriving on this island. And I'm like,
I must see this. I've seen it. Let me just Google it 1 second so I remember what it's called.
Hawaii pigs. Hawaii pigs, and you'll see it.
In the back, it's in Bora Bora.
I haven't got hula skirts on. That's the only thing that's really annoyed me. But, you know, I can work with it.
Big Major K is the uninhibited island of pigs.
Yes.
They're not native to the island, but you can swim by a group of sailors who plan to come back and cook them.
Oh, I didn't read that. Well, I prefer the shipwrecked version, so I'm going to go with that.
My boiling water.
I love pigs, but I did have bacon sandwiches this morning.
Wow, you made me think about bacon sandwiches too.
I know, I do apologise, but Jem was not on that, was she?
No,
at all.
Bacon is not her thing.
Oh, well, I didn't realise that she was vegetarian until this podcast. The
thing is, Gemma's vegetarian.
I've not seen Gemma since she was, well, we've got two different stories here. Gemma's story, it's not my best moment in my life, let's say. But mine was lovely because she was pregnant with Jamie. So that was my last. But she can't bloody remember that. Typical. She can remember when I was 15 in Paris. And we won't say any more about that on here. But
I'm going to tell it. The last memory I have of Rachel was...
Oh, God, here she goes.
Rachel was in Paris with her head in a toilet. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs, Gemma, I love you.
I was rebelling basically because my parent, my mum and my stepdad were very, very strict growing up. So when I was allowed to go to Paris when I was 15 after our GCSEs, it was like spring break for me. And I remember I had no idea about alcohol and we all sat down, I think Jem was there as well, and Hayley, and not you, Hayley, different Hayley. And they're like, oh, what do you want to drink? And I didn't know, I thought I was ordering alcohol. I ordered tonic. So I sat there, everyone else was drinking eggnog, so I was sipping tonic. It was disgusting. Yeah. And then we decided to get some vodka from one of the local shops because you have to be 16 to drink there. I was 15. And I was literally filling up the glass, probably 90% vodka, 10% Coke. So I was absolutely smashed, but I have vivid memories of Gemma and just wanting to be around Gemma and telling her how much I loved her. And look, how many years later, still
love
Gemma.
We found each other again.
Gemma is very lovable. Gemma is very lovable, as we have found out.
She is.
The past few years. People just get obsessed with Gemma.
I know, ask all the men on Tinder and other dating apps.
Yeah.
I love that, an other dating app. I might try Poff, Plenty of Fish.
I have a
feeling they're not going to look as cute as the pigs in Hawaii.
Look at the pigs. We don't need Poff. Nobody needs a Poff.
Oh, Poff is awful. It's the worst.
Is it? In comparison, let's be fair. So the top three in our area, obviously other areas are different, but it is Tinder, Poff, and Bumble.
And there's Hinge.
I would say Tinder is most fruitful, but I get a lot of bloody weird messages, basically from guys who have not put in anything for a long time, and the conversations are quite questionable. Is what I would say.
So I'm just going to put it out there and I can cut it out. The first message I got from anyone on Poff was, I really like kinky stuff. Are you into dogging?
That needs to stay in there.
And, so the thing is, with Poff, you don't even have to match. Just random men can send you messages. And I'm so getting sued. They all look horrendous and they all send you messages saying, do you like what you see? And
I've had this, and literally they're missing most of their teeth. They've got like, I don't know, I always get it where guys have got their tops off and they're flexing in this muscle top, but they've got no muscles. And then they've got really shit tattoos of no fear, and I was here.
Beautiful.
1995, and I'm like, you're not what I was looking for. So, yeah.
Where were you in 1995, my friend? And they're like, calling you. I was down in Newquay in 1995. That's where I got this disgusting tattoo.
Fat William Surfshark on their chest and stuff.
You're not missing out.
No. Right, the last would you rather, Rachel.
Okay.
And just say whiny, Rachel. Would you rather have no fingers or no eyes?
No fingers.
Why?
Why? Because I like to see what the hell I'm doing.
How are you going to pick your nose?
Who?
I use my feet.
Just a message painter for everyone there.
He paints his feet, and I can't remember his name. His name escapes me. But there was a famous painter with his feet. I have to see. I couldn't do without seeing. Yes, I can do without my digits because I've got digits with my toes.
So I think you can sort of feel with your palms.
Exactly.
Same effect. But you can sort of...
If you couldn't see, I mean, life would be quite... No, it would be quite boring, wouldn't it?
If you couldn't see, Tinder would be a lot fucking easier.
Until you try and touch their face with your palms.
The width of your face.
They could be Quasimodo. This is what I'm saying. I need my eyes for dating apps. That's basically why I need my eyes. I could use my little toes.
Thank you, Rachel, for joining the two very nice ladies Faking It Insecurity. It's been a pleasure and a joy.
Thank you both. I've had a really good night tonight.
We've loved it.
Yay! Woo-hoo.